Elise Castle.
Mike Jensen.
You're eating a muffin.
Rude. You should say, wow, you look like you just went to a workout class because you're in workout clothes. That would have been the nice thing to tell everyone listening to this.
Are you? Well, you're wearing a jean jacket. I can't tell that you're wearing workout clothes. Oh. A sensible yoga pant.
I went to yoga. And it's a gluten-free vegan muffin that was half off because I think it's stale.
Yeah, it was okay.
But you know why I got this muffin?
Why?
Because you were running late.
I thought I was running late.
I was
late.
Told I
In
wasn't
the
allowed
end,
to come over.
I was told you, I did tell you not to come early. But then I was totally fine. I overestimated my lateness.
Also, I want to say thank you to everyone who listened and wrote us reviews. We got a lot of them.
Oh, that's great. Keep it coming.
Keep them coming.
It might seem silly, but like it really
it
does.
It really does, yeah. Because it pops up under those like other podcasts you should check out. And then we pop up and then we have a lot of reviews. And then you guys say really nice things about us. So we really appreciate it. Also, people have been saying like, can I ask you a question? You can always ask us.
Always.
Questions.
We love questions.
We have an email address. We couldn't help but wonder at gmail.com. However, also Instagram is super easy. It's at We Couldn't Help But Wonder or Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. So all those ways, just message. It'll usually be me. That's,
yeah.
But if it's for Mike, let me know and I'll pass it along. And if not, I'll just make up something I think Mike would say.
I'm just not very good. I'm especially not very good at Twitter. I'm getting a little bit better at Instagram. I'm going to have you teach me an Instagram lesson because I have a plan.
Are you opening an OnlyFans account?
Absolutely. No, I don't know. Is that a thing?
I think that's when people, it's like you have to pay to look at it and they're all, naked pictures.
Oh, I have heard of that before. Yeah.
All right, the episode.
Unoriginal Sin. This originally debuted July 28th, 2002. Written by Cindy Chupac. She's back. And directed by Charles McDougall. This is his last episode with us.
Bye, Charles.
He's going to go on to do great things, though, including winning an Emmy Award for Desperate Housewives.
Good job.
What's the harm in believing? Just when Carrie's inspiration has hit rock bottom, a book offer becomes a dream come true. While attempting to lighten Carrie's cynicism, Charlotte drags her to a spiritual seminar, only to discover that she's misplaced her faith in love. Samantha continues to struggle with thoughts of getting back with Richard, and a reluctant Miranda gets to meet Steve's mother and agrees to a baptism for their baby. That's a pretty good straightforward recap there.
So it starts with Carrie saying the worst part of not being in a relationship
is watching a show where we talk about how awful it is to not be in relationships.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, but she's like,
the worst thing about not being in a relationship is when your job is to write about being in a relationship.
Like, that's the worst thing?
Yeah, sorry, Carrie.
Yeah, I've been watching this every week being like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's all that I could think.
And then
we cut to the coffee shop.
Right, which I was like, oh, the restaurant got new menus. But the coffee shop I thought was the restaurant below Carrie's apartment. Because remember, in season one, she meets Skipper there, and it's called the coffee shop.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, but it's not that place.
Right, because there's nothing below her apartment anymore.
Right, but in season one, there was.
Well, for one episode.
I know, but I'm just saying. Okay. So is this cafe?
And I don't know.
And they just now are called the coffee shop?
I hadn't really ever paid attention to that before, so we'll have to see in the future.
Because that is that restaurant that they're always at.
Yeah, so we've renamed it the coffee shop.
And whoever, they must be under new management too, because those salts are full.
Yeah.
So they must be a new manager in town, servers.
Under
this is side work. We're going to check it out before you leave.
So Carrie is struggling to find a topic to write about.
Mm-hmm. She's thinking maybe Randall the Sandal.
His name wasn't even Randall.
No, but she's like, I don't know. I'm just scratching my brain. She wrote about socks.
Men as socks.
Socks in the city.
I kind of like that we get that Samantha doesn't read her column.
Yeah. But that's really... I mean, I was just sitting there laughing about that, thinking of all the weird shit that you do when you're an artist in the city and your friends don't. And it's not because they're not supportive. It's just when you're in New York, everyone's doing something.
Yeah, there's always something. I mean, I have very good friends that don't listen to this podcast.
Right, yeah, same.
So it just sort of is what it is.
My roommate who's watching the show from the beginning. And I was like, have you listened to my podcast yet? He's like, oh yeah, I forgot. And he's a very good friend of Mike and I. So it's just and you just can't take it personally.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Except for I hate him now.
Yeah, except we're not talking to him anymore.
So Carrie is in a dating desert.
They're going to have to change the name of my column to just in the city.
And she's afraid she's going to get laid off because her editor called. And
she's
been
not
avoiding.
Getting laid.
Yeah, she's not getting laid, so she's getting laid off. Ha, ha, ha. And it is, we do have a reference to the economy.
Right.
Like, we don't often address what's happening in the real world, but we have the economy was really bad.
Well, and this is also happening. When, like, printed word, you know.
Right. And the whole people with real jobs are being laid off. Yeah, because we have... It seems so weird to think about it now, but this was the emergence of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people were not buying magazines anymore. Right. People weren't buying newspapers. You were getting all of your stuff for free online. Charlotte says they should go find men.
No, I'm not trolling for men just to have something to write about. You people go have sex, report back.
And Carrie, once again, isn't interested in doing anything.
Right.
Part of me's like, yeah, do something, Carrie. Then maybe have something to write about.
Miranda makes a comment about how all she's doing is baby-proofing her apartment, and then... Samantha's like, I know how you can baby-proof. Use a condom. And I'm like, when? When are you going to use one? Yeah. It's the same thing. It's
good advice.
Yeah, and then the waitress comes over and Charlotte gets a veggie scramble. Like, duh.
I'll have an order of fries. Maybe I'll make it a two-parter.
I'd like the Denver omelet and hash browns. Thank you.
I'll have the fruit plate, and I'm back with Richard.
So yeah, we get a flashback, a sort of random weird flashback to Richard saying that he got scared. And then Charlotte does the tongue thing.
Yeah, it's so weird. I just wrote, Charlotte!
Yeah, it's pretty shocking coming from Charlotte, because it's aggressive.
Yeah.
It's not even just like a little. She really goes for it.
Yeah.
Everyone's a little bit shocked.
It's like, Mike and I have this friend who was getting mad because her fiance was trying to figure out what she was getting him for Christmas. And she was like, and then I just said to him, get off my dick. And we, it wasn't in a very similar,
yeah,
it where
was
you're
a
just
very
like, whoa.
Bizarre moment.
But we loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. No one is very supportive of the Richard thing.
No.
They're all pretty much like, no, this is a bad idea. And, you know, Miranda has the whole thing of like men getting too much credit for identifying a feeling, which, yeah, is true. Like, you don't get just to say, like, I was scared, so I had to have sex with someone else.
Yeah.
And also, and even just that, like, his maybe, you know, all men have flaws. Maybe his flaw is that he's going to cheat on me. I don't know. I don't know what we're establishing here.
I don't know either. But also, like, Carrie did it, so relax.
Right. Well, and look how well that turned out.
But also, it's one of these things where, as of now, he's doing the right thing.
I am not suggesting that she doesn't give him a second chance. I just think we still are not establishing the rules here.
Right.
Because her whole thing in this moment is, like, maybe he's someone who cheats. And that's just a thing that will happen. So are we establishing that you're not going to care if he cheats?
Right, yeah.
Because then the entire rest of the episode is definitely not you giving out that vibe.
Right, and he never says that. This is
right,
the thing I'm going
to do. He never says that I might have to cheat. Yeah, so I don't exactly know what we're going for. But it does kind of end with Carrie saying, like, well, we need to support you if this is what you want.
They compare his flaw, that flaw, to not wanting to pick up the dry cleaning. I'm like, yeah, no one in this...
We're going
to
continue this theme.
Yeah, we're
going
to continue this theme that no one knows how to go to a dry cleaner. No one knows how it works.
No, it's super impossible.
Like, it's such... You would think that the biggest issue in Sex and the City is, like, picking up dry cleaning.
And that no one has any clothes, because dry cleaners are where
you keep all your clothes.
Go in and they never come back out.
They never leave, yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird comparison. And then we get to baby-proofing the apartment, and we pretty quickly get to the question of baptizing.
Yeah, and I thought at first... I was thinking, isn't Brady a bit young to have to baby-proof everything? And then they even say later on, they make the reference that he's too young for this. Yeah, we talk about baptizing.
And it's that thing where, in a typical relationship, this is something you would discuss ahead of time.
Right.
But of course, we don't have that opportunity with this.
Right. It's also the first time that Miranda's ever heard him mention his ma.
His ma.
Your ma?
Yeah.
Yeah, his ma. And she makes this comment that I was worried about having you involved. Like, saying this is one of the things that she was worried about having him involved.
Right. I think that she's worried about having anyone involved in
right.
her life.
Because I was like, Miranda, he made that baby with you. You can't just... He wants to be involved. And that's a good problem to have.
Right. But of course, in Miranda's mind, I'm sure she's thinking, like, why can't I just make all the decisions and everything?
Yeah.
Because that's just who Miranda is. I feel that way most of the time.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want the baby to end up as a head flying around with the wings. I don't know.
He's talking about, like, the afterlife, but Miranda doesn't believe in the afterlife.
Yeah. And... for those of me who aren't very, like, religious, a lot of it does seem just silly to me. But it's important to other people, and it's important to Steve.
And I think it's one of those things where it's just... It's what happened in his family. It sounds like he came from an Irish Catholic family.
Yeah. And if you don't believe, it's just water on the kid's head, which
right.
I'm a little bit back and forth on that. I get it, but I'm also like, it still is ceremonial. It still
right.
is me. It still means something. But we don't stick with that a whole lot longer. We get to Samantha and Richard having Lambrusco, maybe?
Yeah, something. Or just an illy prepared fake.
Yeah, I guess
wine.
That I remember her liking. She's had red wine in a champagne flute ish kind of thing before.
Yeah.
And she sort of uses her friends' concerns. Mm-hmm. Like, my friends are worried.
My friends don't believe you.
Am I dating your friends?
With your track record, I wouldn't put it past you.
And then he brings out...
Yeah, he has a ring for her.
The canary diamond.
But not for that finger.
For the other one, so she can show it off when she's giving him the bird.
Sure. And then Carrie's in hell.
Yeah, Carrie and Charlotte are outside counting how many out of 100 men they would have sex with. Now, you listeners not from New York City may find it strange that two women are sitting outside in the cold and rain. You would think that would be a strange thing
You'd
to
think
do.
That would never happen.
You'd think that for some reason, it doesn't matter it what doesn't the weather matter. Is. People are like, can we sit outside? And also in New York City, it's not like when I lived in Michigan, sometimes the outdoor spaces were beautiful. You know, if you lived on like a lake, it was facing a lake. The streets are really beautiful and picturesque. In New York City, you are just sitting in a table on the street that someone may have peed on the night before. Not may have. Someone definitely peed.
Yeah. A homeless guy probably slept there and or peed right there. And you're going to have some brunch now.
Yeah, you're going to have some brunch now and you're going to fight for that table.
You are. And you're going to fight for it even more if there's like a thunderstorm going on for some reason.
Yeah.
Even in bad weather, it's like, we have to sit outside.
We have to sit outside. We have to savor this moment.
It's so funny because I used to actually love it. And I think that I've worked in restaurants where there's outdoor seating for too long, and now I'm so over it.
I have a friend of mine who just like gets outrageously angry when he sees people out of season sitting outside.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I sent a message that was like, it was like 47 degrees out and there were people sitting in the outdoor cafe. I'm like, no, we're not there yet. Let's not rush the season.
As our friend Eric says, that is pushing the season.
Yeah, it's too much. So,
but they're in Gramercy Park, their favorite nabe.
Yes, they do love it down there.
And yeah, Carrie's wearing a letter sweater, so it's a sweater that has a C on it, and that around this time was huge. Like, anything with your initials on it, especially in, like, a lowercase thing.
Yeah, I feel like part of that was from this show, though.
Maybe, I don't know, but I know that around this time I had, like, a t-shirt with a lowercase E on it. There were girls all wearing, like, had those leather purses with their initial on it. It was a huge thing.
Gary doesn't trust men with, how do you pronounce that dog? Dachshund.
Dachshund, yeah.
It's because it's spelt, I always want to say, like, Dutch hound.
Yeah, she's like, be a man, get a... I'm like, rude, Carrie. What, you only want a guy with a Great Dane?
Well, she's, after being with Aiden, she likes big dogs, I guess.
No,
I
she
know.
Didn't like that dog.
She liked
Just
that
admit
dog.
Just admit it, you don't like dogs, Carrie.
She also doesn't like men that are too good looking, and that is actually good advice.
Yeah, that's me too.
Charlotte invites Carrie to go to Dr. Grayson's seminar.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of get into, like, a little bit of the self-help affirmation
world. Yeah, affirmation
world.
And
who's that person that's really big right now? They have a new Netflix special.
Brené Brown.
I automatically don't like her. It's not her fault. Just something about having a self-help thing on Netflix. I don't know. It's too
much. Well, that whole, I mean, that the whole wellness community in general has really had a moment right now.
Isn't it just, like, think good thoughts and be positive?
I don't know. I actually haven't read any of Brené Brown's books, but I have friends.
That's a good tongue twister there.
But I have friends that have, and like, who I really adore and I respect, who love her writing. So maybe, like, give her a chance.
Yawn.
Because she's not like a trend. She's been around. But yeah, there is, like, I went into Anthropology the other day and they have like a wellness center now where it's like a shelf of crystals. And
here's the thing, I'm not actually against, I don't think I'm actually against any of that. And I think you should find peace where you can. And the next thing is Charlotte saying that maybe Carrie's becoming cynical.
Right.
And maybe I become,
yes. Because I was going to say, Mike, maybe like you're a pessimist. Like, Mike's like, the other day we were talking about something and I said I was completely spiraling. And he said, I just live at the bottom.
I'm just down. I've already spiraled.
Yeah. And we don't know which one's better. We don't know if like just settling is better or if like at least like trying to find your way up.
I'm just going to sit here for a while. Yeah, we kind of, Charlotte notices a guy and is like, well, not this guy.
Yeah.
He's balding. But he's got a big head.
But then he ends up being Carrie's editor and she turns into an idiot.
Yeah, it's a very weird scene. Yeah, it's Gabe, her editor. We finally meet. She's been talking about her editor for a while now.
Yeah.
Matt Servito. He has like almost 100 credits.
But they're all very like man
credits. Oh, yeah, that's kind of what he plays. I feel like what he's probably best known for is he was on The Sopranos.
Yeah, and I'm only saying that because when you click on IMDb and you see like the little pictures, they're all like red and black and bold, like The Blacklist and Law and Order. Yeah. And
played a lot of cops, yeah, a lot of agents, a lot of, that's kind of his wheelhouse.
I'm glad I ran into you, since apparently you don't return your calls anymore.
Yeah, I know. But I am just now researching my next column, and I think it's going to be super fun and sexy. See, we sit here and we pick how many men out of 100 we would want to sleep with.
Harry, no one's asking to fuck every guy in town. We're only a weekly paper.
No.
And yeah, she does kind of act like an idiot all
the
time.
She's like, oh yeah!
Like, she's just weird.
Yeah, it's
she's
very
clearly
strange.
Nervous. And then, she tells him about the game. It's pretty funny. And then he tells her some pretty good news.
Yeah, the reason I called you is because
There's a book offer.
There's a book offer. Clearwater Press.
Yeah, and we cut to
Molly Shannon and Amy Sedaris, two people that I did not have to look up.
Oh, yay!
Yeah.
That makes sense, yeah.
I am, like, obsessed with Amy Sedaris. She is one of the funniest. Strangers with Candy, Jerry Blank, is, like, hands down.
I don't know her very well. It's funny. Oh. I mostly know her from Sex and the City.
Oh, I mean, her sense of humor, to me, yeah, she's it for me.
But I like her. Like, I've heard her on talk shows and things like that. Like, I do enjoy her. I do love
Molly
Shannon.
Do you like David Sedaris? Do you ever read his books?
I was told that I would love him, and I wonder if maybe that's why I didn't love him.
You didn't like it?
No, I read one of the books and was like, it didn't click with me for some reason. No shade.
I like that they make a comment, because they were talking about like clipping articles and putting them on their fridge, and they make a comment to Kathy the comic, and I just wrote ack.
Because sweat mark.
Ack.
Yeah. So they're Lily Martin and Courtney Masterson, for the record. That's the characters' names. And they want to fast track the book.
Get on the shelves by Christmas / the Jewish Hanukkahs. And you can pick and choose the columns, about 25 or 30. Then you just have to write an introduction and a dedication to clarify the tone of the book.
And I wrote, Carrie seems kind of dumb in this scene.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't understand anything that's being said to her.
No.
So you mean... What do you mean?
But the idea is, what is her point of view? And this is where we're... even more so now getting into the topic of this episode.
Yeah, which, and she's like, I thought I was just putting together, like, my faves.
Right. And no, like, are you a pessimist? Are you an optimist? Like, do you think he's still out there? Or should we all just shoot ourselves in the head?
I just wanted to circle that and write Mike's thoughts. Yes.
So we get to Samantha and Carrie on a walk.
Is this really something you encourage?
And I want to be like, girl, you need the money.
Yeah.
You just said that you think you're going to get fired. The book is a good idea.
Book's a great idea.
Samantha's very encouraging,
mm-hmm,
but Carrie is blinded by the ring.
She is blinded, and I hope that effort doesn't break my heart again.
That's the hope diamond there.
Yeah.
And we get to Carrie writing, and can you be optimistic past 30? Jakes, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm optimistic.
I think it's different. You know, Amy Schumer has a whole thing where she talks about 20s optimism, which I do think is a thing when you're in your 20s and you're like, oh, the possibilities are still here. And then you reach a certain age where you're like, okay, well, some things aren't going to happen.
Yeah, but also, I don't know. I kind of live, I'm much more optimistic than you at times, I think. And I live in a place where I'm like, I think anything can still happen.
Nothing is too wonderful to be true.
Even for you.
Well.
Maybe pessimism is something we have to start applying daily, like moisturizer.
I think Mike has great skin.
Thank you.
Yeah. What's the harm in believing? I believe in love.
Is that what she writes with lipstick on her mirror?
That lipstick, yeah.
And we get to Miranda at the church, mm-hmm, waiting for Steve, and...
out comes his ma.
His ma. It's Ann Mira. I love Ann Mira. She was married to Jerry Stiller and is the mother of Ben Stiller. Mm-hmm. She's a Tony nominee for Anna Christie. She did pass away several years ago. But I love her so much. I have such a place in my heart for her. She was in a movie called The Day Trippers.
She was also one of, like, the founding people of Second City.
Yeah, she and then just was in general big in the New York theater world,
right,
and the theater world. I think she was named like the Queen of Brooklyn.
She had a part on Elf, Alien Life. I saw that. I just loved that show.
Anyways, I do love her. So she's Mary Brady, and it's weird to think that they've never met.
Yeah, that is.
And that she's never seen the baby.
Yeah, I was like, at first, that just seemed very strange to me, and then we realized that she has a drinking issue.
Yeah, so I wrote, she's kind of darling. But she does bring up babies burning in hell.
I'm just grateful to be included, especially since I know you aren't Catholic and you didn't want to have a christening. But the idea of this little baby burning in hell.
And she says she
doesn't have a problem with her son's black wife. She wants that to be very clear.
Right. And she also says that the dry cleaner doesn't open until 10, which is why she doesn't have a dress. But does she? And then I was like, does she dry clean things that often? But then I'm thinking, no, she probably doesn't. She probably dropped it off 3 years ago drunk and then forgot about
it. Like, where's that dress?
Yeah, she's not a fan of Satan.
Yeah, she doesn't think they should tell the priest that they're not getting married, but then she tells him.
Right. She's the first one to tell him.
Yeah, and she's kind of drunk.
Right.
I love the character. I love Miranda's like, is she drunk? And Steve says,
nah, just a couple of bitch.
Yeah.
We've also established this before 10 o'clock in the morning, right?
Yeah.
Okay, no big deal. Yeah.
So maybe that's why their relationship's a little bit strained.
That could be. So Miranda has a lot of changes she wants to make.
No original sin. No renouncing of Satan. In fact, no mention of Satan.
But the priest is pretty okay with
it. We sort of bring up, like, the Catholic Church is going to kind of take what they can get at this point. Carrie and Miranda go dress shopping.
Baby's first drag show.
Yeah, it's for the baptism. And it's just sort of brought up, it's an odd tradition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once again, I don't want to, like, poo on things that are holy to others. But it is kind of, like, this baby comes into the world, and you're like, we're going to cleanse you of your sins, baby. And I guess that comes from the Catholic Church believing in original sin.
Well, I come from a, like, a religious family, and I'm not baptized.
So if you die, you're going to just be a head with wings floating around.
Yeah, I think it was one of those things where my mom was like, I don't understand why. Maybe it wasn't my mom, I don't know who, but you know, it was like, I don't understand why we're gonna baptize this baby, like, let you decide when.
And right, I was baptized. Mormons do it a little bit later in life.
Mike, is this the first time you're talking about that?
Is it?
Yeah, you guys, Mike's a former Mormon.
I'm a homo fomo momo
homosexual
former Mormon. Mormon.
Yeah, I mean, I think we may have mentioned it before, but I don't think we've officially outed your Mormonism.
Yes, I was raised Mormon, and I was in fact baptized, and I was with the church until I was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. There you go.
And I know some Mormon songs because he teaches me them.
I've been teaching her Mormon songs.
Yeah.
So we kind of get to, like, you know, Miranda's a pessimist, which I don't think that that's a that's a galloping shock to anybody.
And I love the description of Steve's mom, Steve in a wig drunk, and I'm like, wait, is that me?
And Carrie doesn't know what she believes.
Yeah.
Well, neither do I, and I'm having a baptism.
So how do you rationalize that?
One last bath I have to give him?
So I think, so I'm a Carrie here. I think I'm more of a Carrie than I am a Miranda. I don't think that I'm really a super pessimist. I think that I am prone towards pessimism. I am someone who would say I'm a realist.
Mike literally said, I don't believe in love 2 weeks ago.
Last week I said I do believe in love on the podcast.
Right, but there was I don't believe in love. And anytime I say, Mike, you should date that person, that sounds like a terrible idea. Or I have a friend for you. Why do you hate your friends
that
much? Yeah,
it's a terrible idea for them.
Yeah, that's pessimism. Or when I'm like, I think good things will happen. You're like, I just don't think so.
No, I don't know.
How would you feel about being Brady's godmother?
Really? What would I need to do?
Officially? You provide the baby with spiritual guidance. Unofficially, you stand up there with me so I have somebody to roll my eyes at.
And there'll be cake from Queens. Why did she say it that way?
I don't know. Maybe it's like, I bet you that the mom, Ma. And Steve have probably been like, it's the best cake.
It's
you
in
gotta
Queens.
Get this. It's the best cake in Queens.
Super sugary.
The best cake you'll ever have.
Yeah.
And spirituality and cake.
I guess we have established that Carrie likes cake.
Yeah.
Though I don't believe she ever actually eats it.
No, but Miranda does. She eats cake at the end of season.
Miranda or Carrie?
Carrie. I never
ate
not wanted
cake
it.
In Ghost Town, which is season four.
Four.
Yes, midway.
There's a lot of cake in this episode or in this series.
So Charlotte takes Carrie to the seminar,
mm-hmm.
and they pick out their affirmations.
I believe in the good in people.
That's nice. What is your set?
I believe this is hooey.
We never actually find out what Carrie's is.
Yeah.
Are you going to make fun of everything?
No, I'm not that quick.
I love this when Charlotte finds out that Carrie's the godmother.
Yeah. First of all, Charlotte thinks it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And then is clearly kind of hurt by it.
I don't think she's hurt. I think she's hurt that Carrie doesn't think it's a big deal.
I guess so, because then she stops talking to Carrie.
I just think it wouldn't kill you to acknowledge that some things are sacred.
I do acknowledge that
we're not talking.
We're not?
No.
I mean, I've said this before, but I have a friend that is so Charlotte that as I watch this, I'm like, I've lived all of these moments. And I can just picture, Elise, it is a very big deal. It is a very sacred thing. And like me, like messing up some tradition that she's had every year and not talking to me for a week or 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's only a few minutes here. Carrie kind of turns it around with her like still going with the jokes of, I believe this is going to be a very long evening. And I believe we're the only normal people here to.
I believe in the good in Charlotte. Who dragged me here against my will when I wanted to stay home and just be negative.
And we cut away from the seminar to get Samantha and Richard out to dinner. She does the tongue thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Richard likes it.
She doesn't have a bra on.
Richard asks if they're okay.
Oh, we're fine. Oh, I almost forgot. You're going to Miranda's baptism with me Sunday. It'll be all day. It'll be boring. It'll be mandatory.
She's just not ready to forgive. And I guess that's the thing of we've kind of been here before. We're like, we're dealing with cheating, but let's just get back together and we'll deal with that later.
And we also know that from previous episodes, Samantha does not know how to deal with situations that are difficult.
And I think that that's something that we could have talked about last week in her extreme reaction to the breakup, is that if this is really the first time that she's ever experienced love.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, a woman in her 40s.
Has she ever really been in a relationship?
Right. That you just, those are skills. Honestly, it's why it's good to date in high school.
Right.
Because, like, you learn those skills early in life and, like, figure out, what happens when you disagree with someone. What happens when things go badly and how you move on for those things. If you're doing that for the first time in your 40s, that's hard. And mm-hmm. I think that that's what her reaction to all of this is she doesn't really know how you behave in a relationship.
Right.
So we get back to the seminar. I only wrote down the names of these actresses for the second one. So Cheryl Bricker plays the...
Dr. Grayson.
Yeah. And she's very funny. Actually, mm-hmm. I love her like kneeling
she's
down.
She's very
at one
good,
point.
Yeah.
The woman who stands up to ask the question is Lisa Leguiu. And I really only bring her up. I don't know how to tell this story correctly. So when my friend Patrick was a bartender at Ruby Foo's on the mm-hmm. Upper West Side, she used to come in and they became friends.
Okay.
And he had something to do with her marrying her now husband.
Oh, fun.
And it's not a well-told story because I don't know all the details, but it was just funny when I met her like one time
forever
ago.
Yeah, she's now the associate director on Wicked.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
So the one time I met her was actually in the lobby at Mario Cantone's one-man show Laugh Horror, because she was I wish I could get this credit right. She was the movement coach. That's not what they called it, but it was something like that. And we met her I met her really, really quickly.
Yeah, no, I mean, she's had a ton of, acting credits, but yeah, I mean, as far as associate directing and directing and all that, yeah.
She also has a very small part in the film version of Angels in America, where she plays a nurse and has a hilarious take on the reading of the word Mira. But she says it sort of like I just said it there. So anyways, Patrick and I say that all the time. Anyways, it was just funny because I didn't recognize her until I saw her name. And I'm like, oh, Lisa Leguiu. Hey, girl.
Yeah. And I was like, how do I know that name? And then
she has a lot of work in the theater community. So Charlotte has a question, too. And she thinks it's not working.
Mm-hmm. Just don't think it will work for me.
I hear fear. I hear doubt. You have to believe love to receive love.
You know, this is maybe, and I'm not saying that this is how those in this kind of position always behave, but there is that thing of like, oh, it's not working out for you. Well, it's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hear fear. I hear doubt. Yeah. She has fear and she has doubt because it's not working. I just, the whole way of going about this bothers me.
But that's like, I mean, also though, in her defense, the woman is trying to give Charlotte a solution and Charlotte doesn't want the solution.
Isn't there a way to say to someone in this position, sometimes the wait is longer than you think it's going to be?
Yes. And I think if she would have said that, she would have said, well, I've waited long enough.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's funny because I have a lot of friends who have done a lot of spiritual work, and sometimes I'll talk to them and we preface our conversations. I'll be like, I'm telling you this, just a bitch. And they'll say, okay. And then sometimes I'll say something and they're like, wait, are you just venting or do you want advice?
Right.
You know, because sometimes you don't want advice.
Right.
Sometimes you just want to sit in your shit. But you have to believe in love to receive love, Mike. That's what I wrote.
Lisa's going to have t-shirts made.
Yeah.
And, you know, perhaps you're not really putting yourself out there. And then Carrie speaks up.
She's like, she is.
Yeah, and I like it. I like that Carrie is like, no, she really is. Like, she's out there. And I kind of want to know what happens next. Like, the scene ends with them kind of, like, holding hands in forgiveness. But I want to know what that lady said next.
Carrie and Charlotte went home and had, like, their first girl-on-girl experience. I don't know.
So now we're at the christening.
Steve tells me that you're the godmother.
Oh, uh-huh.
I'm the godfather.
Steve's second cousin, Patrick.
But if anyone's going to make it, it would be this guy.
Right, absolutely. He is kind of the worst. And then Carrie wonders if she's the best choice for the godmother position.
She's in a fascinator.
Yeah.
Let's not skip past that. And she is saying, I don't believe in this stuff. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. I don't think I'm good. And Miranda says, I don't know if I believe in any of this.
But I believe in you.
That's great. I do love that moment. Yeah. It is right after the moment where she says, I like that you're not maternal.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a backhanded compliment to give someone. And then Patrick is creepy during the ceremony.
Yeah, and Charlotte has a digital camera.
Yeah.
And Magda is front row with the rosary. Yeah, and I found it interesting that Richard's off book with the Catholic prayers.
Oh,
you notice that. So, like, it was kind of an interesting moment where... And you'll see, I always find this interesting when I go to a Catholic wedding, because I was not raised Catholic, so I don't know all of the rules and the lines that you recite back and what you say and what you don't. It's always interesting to go with a lot of friends, and a lot of my friends are not religious, but then when you go to these weddings and you see, you're like, wait, you know how to do this. Like, you are completely off book with these things. And so when they make the call and there's a response, you see Richard say it, and Samantha's kind of just like, oh.
Huh.
Yeah, it's
interesting.
Like an
interesting. Yeah. Yeah, Samantha and Richard have kind of a sweet, you're naughty moment. I don't know. It's kind of a weird where she's like, there's not enough holy water in the world to wash off your sins. And they hold hands and giggle. I don't know. It's a kind of
weird moment.
I love
Samantha being in a relationship, though. It makes me happy.
And, you know, Carrie has mention of her original cynicism, hoping the water washes that away. I know that it's just a writery thing, and I know it's just a moment, but I sort of wish they wouldn't call it original cynicism, because I don't think that her cynicism is original. I think that it is learned. She doesn't want to be this way, Elise.
Do you want to be this way?
No.
Okay, see? That's a good step. Mike?
I am. I-A-M. Identification.
Oh,
acknowledgement.
Yeah. I was like, what are
modification.
Yeah.
So Mary swears in front of the priest.
Sorry, Father.
But he's a cute fucking kid.
She's
really
drunk.
Like, she's drunk. I like Mary. Mary and I would get along
pretty
well,
I think. She needs to go to Connecticut.
Yeah, she does need to go to Connecticut. Richard kind of confronts Miranda, and I find it to be an interesting moment. I don't know.
And just for the record, I did get scared.
Because Miranda's still not buying it.
Yeah, Miranda's also like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of the best response you can have. And then is like, you know, he's a player.
Yeah.
I don't believe him.
Just for the record, I did get scared.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah. And then Charlotte has hope.
He's such a player.
I don't know. Maybe things will work out between them.
And then we cut to Carrie dedicating her book to Charlotte.
Yeah, which is sweet.
It is sweet. The eternal optimist who always believes in love.
Mike Jensen.
Mm-hmm. We didn't really talk about the question and how we feel about it. What was the question? Oh, yes, we kind of did.
What's the harm in believing?
Oh, yeah. What's the harm in believing?
Mike?
I mean, the only response to that is you know, the... obvious sort of pessimistic, like, if you believe it doesn't happen, then it feels like failure.
Right.
So I guess that's the harm in believing. Which doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. I'm not saying you shouldn't believe. I'm just saying that is it. That's the harm in believing. Is if you believe in something and it doesn't work out, then you feel like you're a failure or you did something wrong.
Well, I think believing and expectations are two different things. I think what you're talking about is an expectation. So, like, if you believe in love... in general, and like it's a big question here is like, do you believe in love? So if you believe in love, then you will find love daily. You will find love in your friends, in, you know, you will find love in people and this and that. If you expect, like, I believe in love and I expect it to look this way, then you are definitely going to be let down. But if you just you can believe in love without having an expectation of what love is going to look like for you.
Are you saying there can be miracles when you believe?
There can be miracles
though
when you believe.
Though hope is frail, it's hard to kill.
It's hard to kill.
I love that song.
But yeah, there are two different things. An expectation is like when you've decided in your brain what it's going to be. I think believe is hope and kind of like letting go. An expectation is like holding on.
Hmm.
I'm going to have my Netflix special out next month.
Well, I still couldn't help but wonder how she had never met the baby.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. I couldn't help but wonder who the new manager is at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Skipper.
Maybe.
Or it's that cheesemonger lady.
Okay. Cheesemonger lady has taken over that restaurant. Yeah. Good for her.
Good for her.
All right. We'll
get
be back.
That cheddar.
Get that cheddar. Oh, I see what you did there.
Thank you.
All right. Back next week.
Bye.
You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for Luck Be an Old Lady.
Nothing is too wonderful. What is that from?
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Okay, I knew it. I sang it. I'm not like an idiot. Right.
Godmother position.
She's in a fascinator.
Yeah.
Let's not skip past that. But
I don't really know what that is. I know you've explained it before. Oh, okay. That was very helpful for those
listening
at home.
Well, the ones listening will know what a fascinator okay. is. It's a tiny hat. Gotcha.